The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And this is the second hour of the Paul Feinbaum Show, and I'm your host for the day, Roman Harper. And our next guest we have is Connor O'Gara from Saturdays Down South. Connor, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I was waiting for a second. It was all good. We're good. You kind of made me almost had me a little nervous. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, Connor, I just saw your article today. You were talking about Evan Stewart, that you were maybe a little bit questionable, and not because of his talent. He was the number one rated wide receiver in his class, but more of the history that is being a Texas A&M wide receiver. And for those that don't know, could you explain the history of what it is in the non-drafted players that play that position for this university for so long, and how he may be the next great one coming out of the SEC?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think if you look back at the history of true freshman receivers in the Jimbo Fisher offense, they're kind of scratching your head going, man, it is really hard to emerge and be a productive wideout. And especially in, you know, playing in the defensive backfield in the SEC, when you're a sub-6-foot guy and you're lining up exclusively on the outside, man, I just think that's such a tall task to ask of a true freshman. And especially in an offense last year, let's be honest, we had some questions about it, and I think those questions were justified. What wasn't maybe justified was me being so skeptical of Evan Stewart emerging as a true go-to playmaker in this league. And, you know, I think that it's pretty impressive when you look back at his numbers and realize this guy had the most receiving yards of any true freshman ever in the Jimbo Fisher offense, at least during his time as a head coach, both at Florida State and at A&M. And the previous high at A&M for a true freshman receiver was Anaya Smith with like 248 receiving yards. So I am really high on Evan Stewart. I think he's worthy of starting off as a second team all-SEC guy coming into this year. And especially if you look at his surroundings, getting what should be a revamped offense with Bobby Petrino, a better quarterback situation with Connor Wigman, and I think a little bit more pre-snap deception. I think that's going to do him really well.
With pre-snap deception, you mean some motions, just a little bit of some shifts, anything, right? And how do you feel that this relationship is going to continue to build or progress between, because that's the big question mark right now. I know all the transfers and the roster turnover at Texas A&M may have people on the outside questioning, but for me personally, I worry less about that because that's today's college football or all of college athletics. But the relationship between Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino, two fiery, emotional coaches, how do they mesh? How does it promote the Texas A&M offense going forward?
I think there's a world in which this relationship can work. It doesn't mean it's going to. I mean, we're talking about two guys who – like, let's be honest, man. Like, they haven't had to answer to anyone on the offensive side of the ball in two decades.
I agree.
You think about that dynamic at this stage of their careers. It's not so much, you know, what does it look like if they get off to a nice start, which they very well could, but what do those tough moments look like? What if there's two consecutive games in which, okay, the offense isn't really humming and it's not necessarily the level that Jimbo Fisher wants? Because ultimately, he gets final say in this. And so it's going to be difficult because the offense has been Jimbo Fisher's baby, and he is allegedly giving control to Bobby Petrino, because when you're as bad as you are offensively as A&M was last year, you have no choice. I don't care how much money is left on that contract. You have to do something, and he did. So, you know, I do think there's a world in which this works. But, yeah, I think that those tough moments, they're going to be there. But it's really going to test Jimbo Fisher in a unique way that he really hasn't had to deal with during his time as a head coach.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens on the first 4th and 2 or 3 and they don't get it, right? It's like, oh,
yep.
What is going to happen there? That is awesome. I'm just imagining on the sideline what we're going to get ready to see. But, Connor, I want to kind of segue to the powerhouses, or what we're all projecting to be the top part of the SEC West. We have Texas A&M, LSU, Bama, and possibly Ole Miss. Out of all of those teams I just named, who do you feel is the cream of the crop?
I can't bail on Bama yet. I can't, and I'm not just pandering to you. I swear I'm not. But, look, I think that everybody that's expecting Alabama to fall off the face of the earth and that they're all of a sudden going to be a 9-3 team and overreacting to the spring quarterback situation, I would push back on that. I mean, I'm still not at a place where Alabama is just all of a sudden, you know, not necessarily at that level where they're competing for SEC championships on an annual basis. I mean, think about this. Bama's been the pick to win the SEC every year since 2015. The last time they weren't picked to win either the SEC or the division was when Auburn was picked to win the SEC that year. Bama was still picked to win the West, as weird as that is. Auburn ends up going 2-6 in SEC play. The Jeremy Johnson thing happened, and it was just a disaster. And, oh, by the way, Bama goes on to win a national championship. So picking against Bama, history suggests that the last three times that they've been picked against to win the division or the SEC, they've gone on to win a national championship. So, you know, I'm not willing to be that guy just yet, probably despite the fact that I love what LSU returns. And I think LSU has fewer questions than Alabama coming back, and LSU's coming back as the defending West champs. But I do think that Bama has other areas that we're probably overlooking. This could be a vintage Alabama secondary. The offensive line should be improved, and maybe their running backs get back to some of that physical play that we've seen in years past.
You know, and the addition of Tommy Rees on the offensive side of the football, you know, he brings in transfer Tyler Buchner, who I'm not saying he brought him in personally, but will Tommy Rees be able to have the freedom to really, really, you know, sink his teeth into this Alabama offense? What are you hearing on that side of it?
Yeah, I think he will be. I think he's going to get that opportunity. You know, Alabama is such a unique situation because Nick Saban always says, you're not coming in here to reinvent our offense. You are running our offense, but you're using our tweaks within the offense. And that's been the case no matter how accomplished the offensive coordinator has been. You know, Bill O'Brien, who ran an NFL franchise, and Steve Sarkisian, and Lane Kiffin, I mean, gets to come in here and kind of set what Alabama's offense was. But, you know, I look at Tommy Rees, and I think that his youth is a question that has a lot of Alabama people kind of scratching their head going, man, like, is this guy ready for this opportunity? I don't think the standard of Alabama offense that we've come to know is going to be met necessarily, but do I think Alabama can get better defensively and perhaps make up some of that difference? Yes, I do. I don't think that it's realistic to think that, like, Bama is going to score 45 points a game and just pick up kind of right where they left off. I think they have too many questions for me to be willing to say something like that. But, you know, at the same time, can Alabama still be in the thick of things in late November and once again competing for an SEC championship? Absolutely.
Well, we got to talk about the SEC West champs, all right? Jaden Daniels returns at quarterback. They get back possibly the most explosive true freshman defensive player we've seen since I've been working for the SEC in Harold Perkins Jr. This guy is an absolute freak. And also the return of Mason Smith, who hurt himself early in this season versus Florida State. LSU looks primed to make a run at this thing, but for the first time, they didn't have this luxury last year. Well, it's not really a luxury, but the actual target on their back, they're not going to sneak up on anybody, and they did not handle that situation well last year.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by LSU because that guy that you brought up right there, Mason Smith, man, when he went down last year on that first quarter against Florida State, he's celebrating a teammate's tackle and he goes down with a season-ending injury. You're just so bummed because that's who everybody was talking about. It wasn't Harold Perkins, it was Mason Smith. And he has the ability to make a Jalen Carter-type impact for this LSU defense. And those who have been following this story know, man, you just got some great news this past week hearing that he's fully cleared for football activities, and that guy can wreak havoc. The combination of he and Harold Perkins, they can be the difference in winning an SEC championship this year. Now, the questions are going to be on the back end. Can you, you know, help that secondary out, maybe get home with four consistently with those two guys headlining that group? But, man, you got to see it earlier from LSU. You need to see them turn the page offensively, especially in the ground game, which just has not been at the level that you would hope that it could be at. And Jaden Daniels made up so much of that with his legs, but you don't want to necessarily have the backbone of your ground game being Jaden Daniels scrambling because he doesn't want to throw to anybody on third down. That can't be your bread and butter offensively. So I think that LSU has some questions, but I am super interested because if it hits, this is a team with playoff upside. There's no doubt about it, but they got to be able to stay healthy. They need to help out their secondary, and they got to get back to being that physical ground game that we were used to seeing during the 2010s.
Well, Connor, thank you so much for the insight on the SEC West. He really gave it to us all. And what I figured out from what you just kind of was like, not so ready to bet against Bama, but LSU and Texas A&M got a lot of upside. Well, A&M's got to figure out this whole offensive thing, and if not, it's going to be popcorn watching what's going on that sideline too. So thank you so much, and we will catch you guys after the break with more from the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
All right. We are just cruising through this second hour on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm your host for the day, Roman Harper, and our next guest, David Ubben of the National College Football Writer from The Athletic. Look, I'm not subscribed to The Athletic. That $1.99, just too much for my bank. You know what I mean? My bank account, just trying to hold out slowly. But I do try and listen and watch as much as I can. So, David, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
I appreciate it. We got to get you behind the paywall, Roman. We got to make that happen.
There we go. I need to start talking to more people like you. This is why I host, and this is why we get callers like you to come on in. You are a special guest. You just moved up my depth chart right here. I keep a depth chart. Same thing I do at my household. You know, I rank my kids. They're all on the depth chart all the time. So, David, you're up to second place right now. Just want to let you know that.
Good to know. Who's first?
My daughter, London, she's pretty awesome. She just graduated. She just went up. I didn't say graduate. I mean, I said graduated, but she's actually going to junior high now. So SEC win totals. I saw you put out a little thing on YouTube. Who do you take? Who are we going to Vegas with on the plus minus on win totals? Who's going to hit over? Who do you like under?
I think I'm most confident probably in the LSU over 9.5. I think A&M over 7.5. The less Jimbo sort of tinkers with the offense and lets Bobby Petrino cook, I feel like the better they'll be for that. And I like Alabama under 10.5. Very confident there.
Very confident Alabama under 10.5. We were just talking to our last guest, Connor O'Gara, who said he's not ready to jump off Alabama's bandwagon just so fast that Alabama's just going to fall off a cliff. He doesn't believe so much. But, David, you're saying otherwise. You said believe the hype. Alabama's on the way down. LSU's up. Now, why do you say LSU is on the way up when last year, when they started to have success as they got hot later on in the season, they had a couple slip-ups and didn't look as great when they were able to sneak up on teams? Or I would say before they beat Alabama, they were not the LSU they became once they won that game in Baton Rouge.
I mean, I think continuity on the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. They bring back just a ton of impact players. Yes. They're not as deep as Alabama or Georgia, certainly. But in terms of their starting 22, you know, they can probably go toe-to-toe with just about anybody. Just a ton of talent everywhere. I mean, you look defensively, you bring Mason Smith back, you add Mekhi Wingo. You obviously have Harold Perkins there. Jaden Daniels from September to December might have been on the short list of most improved players in college football. You still have Malik Nabers there. You had a Diggs, the transfer running back. Another handful of other really successful portal pickups. LSU is loaded right now and has a lot fewer questions. When you look at Alabama, certainly this is still an Alabama team that can contend for a national title. That's what happens when you recruit number one class after number one class. But all the lack of continuity there, the growing questions at quarterback, I'm not convinced in the offensive line. They haven't really upgraded enough at receiver. And then you still obviously don't know what's happening at quarterback. That's a lot. And when you have a rising middle class of the SEC, I mean, in any given year, Alabama's playing, between 3 and 4 games that they could conceivably lose.
Yes.
This year, it's probably closer to 5 to 8 that can beat them in some universe. And eventually, that's going to catch up to you. You're going to lose some ball games.
Yeah, David, I think you bring up great, fantastic points as far as it's concerned with Alabama and their schedule and roster concerns. And how about the unders? Who are you taking with the unders outside of Alabama? Any other teams that, we might be looking forward to or that nobody's really talking about that, hey, we might be able to find a little pick on?
Yeah, I mean, Florida is concerning. I think, again, the East has risen, and that is going to be a problem. I think they're, under 5.5, I think. I like that under. I think, Mizzou under 6.5 probably makes some sense to me. I think those are the two that sort of stand out. And then, of course, the Alabama's number one on that list and LSU number one on my over list for sure.
All right. Now, David, I saw you talking about the ACC and the money distributions, how that might be able to help them out, continue to float this thing down the road just a little bit more. But the Magnificent Seven came together in the ACC media days and said, hey, something needs to change. The Magnificent Seven, for those that don't know, is Clemson, Florida State, Miami, UNC Chapel Hill, North Carolina State, UVA, and Virginia Tech. What comes of this group of complainers? Well, I'm not complainers, but this little bit of an uprising inside the ACC.
Well, not all of the Magnificent Seven are created equal. I'll say that. I think right now, from everything that we've seen, the Grant of Rights is pretty ironclad, and that's just the reality of the situation. And so you saw yesterday, the ACC is going to go to more of a merit. They're pretty light on details, but essentially more merit-based revenue sharing. You can get little bumps. If you make the playoff, depending on what bowl you get, if you go deep in the NCAA tournament, so on and so forth. But my column is basically, it doesn't really matter. You're not ever going to make up the money difference. And it is about money, but it's also not even about money, especially with the Big Ten and the SEC sort of make put a lot of distance between themselves and the rest of college football, both in perception and in the money aspect of it and in prominence and all of those things that the ACC can never make up for by kicking in a few more shares to Clemson or Florida State. So, listen, it's a bad spot, and ultimately, it doesn't matter how you share the revenue or whatever you do, even if you get close to the money, if Clemson and Florida State get a ticket to the Big Ten or the SEC at any point, it's not going to matter how they share the revenue in the ACC. That's not going to keep them around. They're gone. And so my call was this: hey, if you cede to the demands of these people at this point, you're only costing yourself money and you're not changing the long-term fate of your league. It's just not doing anything.
Well, David, you said it, not me. I do know that I will leave the listeners with this. The highest income generators in football are Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech, in that order. Those would be the calls that would, I guess, would be flirting out there with other people, I assume. So I appreciate it, David. We're up against another break here. Thank you for your information, your insight. It was beautiful. And ACC watchers and awares, I mean, the middle class has to continue to rise or you guys will continue to fall down. I'm excited because what would be the intrigue and interest if these teams were to look at basketball revenue as well? Teams like North Carolina and Duke possibly moving around to the SEC or something. I would love to see that to continue to make the SEC more championship proof, because now you up your odds in winning championships in other sports. You got football under control. You're adding in Texas. You're bringing in Oklahoma. But what about a little bit more basketball hype? Could you imagine the greatest rivalry in college basketball in the SEC? Chapel Hill and Duke could do that for you. I know the ACC rights don't like me saying all that right now, but hey, it's my show today. I'm going to say it how I want it. Back with more for the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, we're back halfway through the second hour on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am your host for the day, Roman Harper, and I have a fabulous, fabulous guest up next. He's a former teammate of mine, first-round draft pick from the U. I just threw it up. I don't have a TV camera in front of me, but if you could see me, I just threw it up. My former teammate and a brother of mine, Jonathan Vilma, the great, the legend, Mr. 305 himself. How you doing, Vilma? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. I just wish someone can send me a video of you throwing up the U with all your Roll Tide that I had to listen to for years and years and burning my ears with that Roll Tide nonsense.
Well, that's what happens, Vilma, when one team loses and one team falls off the planet as far as football is concerned.
Relax. Relax. Let's just get to the topics, okay? Thank you.
All right, we're going to stick to the topics here. We're not going to take our normal conversation on the airwaves today. All right, so Vilma, look, EA Sports announced that they were re-releasing an NCAA version of college football. When NIL is now affordable, they're offering $500 to each individual player if they opt in to being part of the video game experience, offering up their name and image. I don't know how much their likeness is, but because you got to like the rating that they're going to give you. But you were a vital part of this game when it really boomed out of control, Vilma, in the early 2000s on those great Miami Hurricane football teams. I played with you individually, you and DJ Williams, your co-partner, and I say a great friend of yours. Me and him are cool. That's my guy, too. We actually are quite similar in personality. But how would you feel if this deal was offered to you back then, and also maybe what some of these young men are thinking about in today's terms of, do they opt in, or why would they not or why would they choose to opt out?
So yeah, it's a very interesting question. If it were just the 500 and that was it, without knowing how much the players are getting from outside sources for sponsorship, et cetera. I've heard numbers of the 500,000 range. I've heard numbers of $1 million for a couple of these players. So, $500 just seems too arbitrary, too small of a number for anybody to really look at and say, yeah, I want to do this. You know what EA Sports is doing by offering such a low number. In this era, I'm able to get, $20,000 from the local business for, representation and wearing their stuff or whatever it is. I'm going to expect something similar from EA Sports. So it's very odd, and to put it lightly, of where EA Sports is trying to go with just a measly $500.
You know, Vilma, speaking like a true businessman yourself, I mean, you're not, the first deal's never the best deal, is what you're saying.
Okay, but I don't even know if the second or third deal is going to be worth it, because how high are they going to go? And then, you know, you're talking about thousands of players, and of course the best players are going to want the top dollar. So what do you do for the players that say, you know what, maybe I'm not the best player and I don't get $50,000, but I want more than $500, right? That's fair. What are they going to do with those players? So I think this was sloppily done by EA Sports, and they definitely should not have made it public. I think this should have been handled privately before re-releasing, to figure out, you know, what are the players going to want? What does the market say for the top players? And is that really going to drive sales for their game?
Well, it's clearly not, after they listen to this interview, with what they're cheating these players with, according to Jonathan Vilma. And hey, I'm kind of with him. I mean, I understand $500 is not going to get me but about a month and a half's worth of gas. Yes. A month
exactly.
And a half's worth of gas.
I can't even go to the movies with $500 anymore. I got to.
Well, I don't know what movies.
In the movies, I can't do it.
I mean, those are expensive movies down in Miami. I get it. Coral Gables is nice. But so the next question I want to go to is your university, where you sit on the board of trustees. Number one, have you ever got to meet The Rock? I just saw pictures of you guys' new locker room. He actually clearly dumped in a couple million dollars. It's great to be rubbing elbows with that guy and seeing all the great things that the University of Miami is doing. And also some of the NIL opportunities in which Miami's doing. How are you guys using that to your advantage on that campus? And have you seen the benefits of it and what NIL has allowed the University of Miami to be able to do, knowing that you guys are a smaller private school?
Yeah, so I'll answer the last part first,
okay,
which is we definitely saw the benefits of NIL and recruiting players. We definitely saw that, particularly in our basketball. First time in our history that both men's and women's basketball made it to the Final Four. Huge, huge accomplishment. Everyone was super excited for them. And we know it's because we paid for some of the top talent to come to Miami. And with that talent, we were able to have good coaching on top of that with Jim Larrañaga. And now you're able to see what really good talent paired with really good coaching can cost. Yeah, now it costs. But I've
Hello?
Using their ability.
Vilma, your Wi-Fi is kind of terrible. Yeah, all right, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
All right, perfect. So I'm A-OK with players getting paid and doing a good job. And I like that it really helped us, to help the program. It was great to see everyone go and support. First time for both school, for both teams, men and women's basketball, to get in the Final Four. The next part being the meeting The Rock. I have met The Rock, especially in our heyday when we were, you know, winning championships and winning bowl games. That was a lot of fun. Met him, met Shaq, met frankly a lot of guys were on the sidelines back when it was cool to be on the sidelines for the Hurricanes. So that was always fun, and it segues into what NIL's hopefully going to do for us moving forward. Being that we're a smaller school, yeah, it's going to be a little harder for us to get the same amount of recruiting dollars, I should say, NIL dollars, as the bigger schools, the state schools, because, frankly, their alumni base is just bigger. But regardless, we're still Miami. We're still the U, and there's always that appeal. So we have a good coach in Mario Cristobal. He knows how to recruit. If there's one thing that he's going to do a good job of, it's going to be recruiting. So it's a matter of us, former players, alum, staff, everyone helping out to make sure we can get the top talent for football as well. And then we'll see the results happen, if it's not this year, next year. But it'll come in football as well.
Now, according to what you just told me, was that it used to be cool to be on the sidelines of Miami football games, so it's not anymore. And number two,
Wait. Don't try to make it like it's a slight. It is a fact. It's not cool to be on the sidelines of Miami when you're losing. It's not cool to be on any sideline when you're losing, right? That's just the fact.
That's the truth.
So, don't try and start that road. You always try and start that. You see, you want to just kind of just poke the bear and you want to start stuff. It's a fact. When teams are losing, no one wants to be associated with losers. You still love them, but they're losing. Now, when they start winning, the best thing about us, which is better than Alabama, there's nothing cool about being in Tuscaloosa. I don't care how many championships you win. So when soon as Miami starts winning again, you better believe everybody's going to want to come on the sideline because it's cool to be in Miami and it's cool to be part of the Hurricanes. Boom. Boom.
You know what? Well, this would be my last question for you. How does Miami football, because I'm going to get you out of here before you keep going off of my Alabama team. Now, how does Miami continue to corner the market as far as recruiting in South Florida? I know that was what allowed you guys to be so great for so long. How do you guys continue to corner that market? I know that's got to be a vital piece in a conversation that's had a lot of times on that campus.
I mean, we just keep it as simple as possible. The way to corner the market is to win. That's it. There's no secret sauce to it. The reason that everyone wanted to come 20 years ago to Miami and 30 years ago to Miami is because we were winning national titles or playing for national titles. So you win games. People want to be a part of the winning program, winning atmosphere, winning culture. They will come. Until then, you know, we can sit here and talk about NIL and, you know, what we have to do and marketing, et cetera. End of the day, win. Find ways to win. And then people, particularly the players, high school players, are going to look. They're going to say, oh, okay, I like what they're doing down there. I like that culture. I want to be a part of it. That's the only way to do it.
Well, Vilma, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to get you out of here with my last comment, and that is, over the last decade, out of the two universities with the name Miami that share that name, who has more bowl wins, Miami of Ohio or University of Miami, Florida?
So, Roman, I will talk to you later. I will keep it PG on this radio call right now. But me and you are going to have words. You try to end our conversation like that on the radio like that, we're going to have words. Don't worry. I'll be talking to you.
I'll holler at you later, my boy. Bye. All right. If you can tell, I like to have my friends call in every now and then. So I appreciate Vilma and his perspective and all the great things that they're doing down in Miami at the University of Florida down in Coral Gables. And with that, I'm going to bring in the next caller. And I've been preparing for this guy for about a month and a half. JK, the Bama hater. How about that? You enjoyed that I brought in that caller just for you?
Man, hey, what Vilma should have asked you was, how many bowl wins did Bama have before Nick got there? Because we all know you really don't have Alabama fans now. You have Nick Saban fans in the championships he's won since he's been there. So I think that would have been a better flip side question for Vilma to you.
Well, you know, Alabama still has the most, I believe. Well, they're in the top five in all those categories, JK. But I'm glad you're calling in. I want you to keep calling. Come on in. I want to hear. What's the smoke today? What you got for me today?
But check this out. Hey, before I start, I got the perfect solution in the punishment, the penalties, and all that stuff that they want to do for storming the field. This is my perfect solution for storming the field.
All right.
If you're the favorite team, just win the damn game. You don't have to worry about nobody storming the field. That's what I feel about that.
That's very true, but most time when you storm the field, it's usually a upset on your own home field, JK. So I do agree with you. Sometimes in basketball, it gets a little back and forth. I don't know the exact numbers or odds on that end of it, but I do understand, you know, they talk about security. They want to point fingers, this, that, and other. But the security, all they're doing is just moving out of the way. And I don't know how many people are injured doing these things. And this is what young people do. They like to have fun. They like to turn up. And this is part of the college experience.
Yeah, they're just having fun, man. But check this out. Let's just talk football. We're not going to put our feelings in. We're just going to talk football. And I agree with the guy that came after Connor. that David. He agrees with the Bama under 10.5.
Yes.
I'm looking at more like 8 or 9 wins this year for Bama. And let me explain why. With the number 1, the number 3, and the number 12 pick in the first round of the NFL draft, with those same 3 players, Alabama couldn't win the West. They finished 4th in the SEC, and they didn't make the playoffs. So what makes any Alabama fan think they're going to do any better without those guys? You don't have any guys coming in that's comparable to those guys. So I agree with that guy. And I want to hear your perspective on why you think they're going to be better than what they were last year.
Well, I can't say confidently that they're going to be better than they were last year, JK. And I just call balls and strikes. And you don't lose that type of talent and just say, hey, we're just going to turn the page, bring in 2 new coordinators, and we're going to be better without the number 1 quarterback, the best edge rusher possibly in school history, him and Derek Thomas, and then also the explosive running back like Jahmyr Gibbs, and say we're going to be better. I think this team has to be revamped. I think the psychological aspect has to change, where we don't get to just show up because we're Bama and win games. You have to work for it. And sometimes it will be humbling experience when you do lose these games and maybe your season doesn't end the way you wanted it to, even though they ended on a win, but it's not what they wanted to win at. And so what will this offseason be for this Alabama team? Will they put in the work? Will their mindset be right? And will they show up, and will they have the opportunity to surprise teams themselves and go and get some wins? I also think that scheduling matters as well, JK. I appreciate it, man.
And you know something else, Roman, and
what's
we
that?
All know, and it's just not because I don't like Alabama. The scheduling is part of why they're constantly in the playoffs year after year after year, along with the top recruits. That's just a known fact.
Hey.
But you know what? I always hear Alabama fans say, and most SEC teams say, oh, man, Miami or Clemson or what other team outside the SEC, they can't go through the SECs every week, playing those teams every week, week in and week out. But then you go get a quarterback from an independent that has just as many interceptions as he had touchdowns to try to put your team back on top. So the talk is like double talk, and really try to throw a smoke screen over what they really talk about. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
on the one hand, they're not good enough to compete every week, week in and week out. But you go to Georgia Tech and get Gibbs. You try to get the best wide receiver from Pittsburgh. He went to USC. And now you go get a guy from the independent to play your quarterback position at Alabama, which came from Notre Dame. So which is it?
Well, JK, I'm up against it, man. I appreciate your calls. And look, when people start questioning you, all you need to tell them is this, JK. Too much is given, much is expected. And that is what Alabama is right now. And that is what it's like playing in the SEC. I appreciate it. More of your calls when we come back with the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, this is the Paul Feinbaum Show. Almost through 2 hours now. I'm your host, Roman Harper, if you don't recognize the voice. The host is with the mostest. And we are taking phone calls right before the 5 o'clock hour on the East Coast, 4 o'clock Central, and wherever else you might be listening to. I forget, Paul is a huge deal now, and we're everywhere across the country. So our next call, we'll be taking Jason from Alabama. Jason, how you doing, man?
Hey, Roman, what's going on, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Man, doing good. Hey, did JK even talk about Miami?
He did not. I think he was so starstruck when Vilma called. He just was amazed, and then he went on another rant.
He just thought, you know, he's a closet Bama fan anyway, so it's all good. But hey, listen, man, the reason I was calling, I met you, I guess, it was the year that Mark Ingram was drafted, and you were playing in a golf tournament down here in Dothan for ALS. Nope. They was putting it on Kevin Turner.
Yep.
And I was wondering, Kevin Jackson's putting one on the 21st. Are you going to be able to come down and play in it?
So I talked to Kevin about that, and I asked him. I told him it just depends on the schedule. So he's supposed to be emailing me and hitting me up. We exchanged numbers a week or two ago at the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. So we talked about some things. We hung out. I'm good friends with all those guys, all those former Alabama greats. I'm so fortunate to get to know those guys just throughout the years and being able to show up with all the great defensive backs that went through the doors there, Kevin Jackson, George Teague, and all those other guys. So Antonio Langham, my fave. It's just been really cool, and hopefully so. My wife knows it. She tells it all the time. The best way to get Roman out the house, invite him to play golf. So hopefully I can put it on the schedule, Jason.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.